What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Farzee Show. My name is Mark Farzetta, and this is for the live audience, okay? Not just for the people on the podcast. This, I think, is a record for tardiness in starting a show today. Remember yesterday when I told you, I think I was getting the stomach bug. Well, I got it. Oh, boy, did I get it. Oh, man, you know what's fun? When you have kids, and then the kids are just like, hey, mom, dad, love you. You want some germs? And then they become like Oprah with germs. It's like, you get my germs, and you get this germs, and you get the germs from preschool. Oh, yeah, it feels great. Ha ha! So anyway, my apologies. It was an eventful morning already. It's 6:20. It's not supposed to go down like that. Anyway, Eagles 49ers NFC Championship game kicking off Sunday, 3:00. The weekend is finally upon us, and I can't wait for this game. I've been telling you guys all week. Devin Caney will join the show, by the way, to talk about all things Eagles 49ers. Lots of fun. Look back on the season and all that type jazz. But I have been telling you guys all week, 24-20. Now, when I look at this game, I look up and down the San Francisco 49ers schedule, and there's one game where this great defense got annihilated. And Nick Bosa was healthy, and they played a similar quarterback to the way Jalen Hurts is playing and has played this year as an MVP candidate. And in that game, they were obliterated by Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs to the score of 44, ladies and gentlemen, 44 points the San Francisco 49ers allowed to Patrick Mahomes in that offense. In that game, Patrick Mahomes, 3 touchdown passes, 423 yards through the air, only sacked one time and posted a passer rating of 132 and was only sacked one time in that game. And by the way, QBR, he posted a 91 QBR. So I know a lot of people will see that and go, oh, that's Patrick Mahomes, it's not Jalen Hurts. Okay, this year it is. This year, they're two very similar quarterbacks. And you could even make the argument that this offense with the Philadelphia Eagles is even more illustrious with the versatility that they have in any guy that can kill you. Patrick Mahomes, I feel, is in a situation where he makes a lot of those players look pretty damn good. With the exception of Travis Kelce, he is pretty damn good. But I think Jalen Hurts is more on par with his teammates and with the guys that also help him look good as well. A.J. Brown's a perfect example of that. And I think A.J. Brown's going to have a hell of a game in this NFC Championship game. So when I look at that game in particular, which I think is the most like what the Eagles could be facing or what San Francisco could be facing this week in facing Jalen Hurts, I say, oh, wow, this defense that everyone is lauding, everyone is applauding, and everyone is saying, oh, they're such a great run defense, or they're the best defense in the NFL because they only allow 300 total yards per game, or they only allow 16 points per game, which is what they did during the regular season. And that's all 1,000% justified that that's what this defense has done this year. But when you face the run, you're not facing the run like the Philadelphia Eagles that can kill you with Miles Sanders. They can get you with Kenny Gainwell. They can get into the end zone on a goal line situation with Boston Scott. But they can most notably kill you with their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, and his scrambling ability. That's the difference. If you want to talk about a great run defense like the San Francisco 49ers have, talk about it all you want. But when they face when they face offenses like this with a scrambling quarterback, with a guy that can get out, you better brace yourself. Because Jalen Hurts is going to be, also as I've been seeing all week long, is going to be the difference in this game. Zero question about that. He is going to be the X factor. Now, when you say X factor, a lot of times you think about a guy that's under the radar that's going to come out and beat you, like a Boston Scott versus the New York Giants, something like that, right? No. What Jalen Hurts brings to the table is if Lane Johnson gets beat by Nick Bosa, if Jordan Mailata gets beat by Nick Bosa, if you have guys blitzing through the middle of the field, guess who's going to be able to get away from that? Guess who's going to be able to extend that play? So a guy like, I can never say his name correctly, Diamador Lenore? So if he's trying to stay on his wide receiver, whoever that might be, Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown, whoever it might be, Jalen Hurts is buying time where he still has to cover those pretty damn good wide receivers. And he can find those guys downfield. He can scramble for 10 yards. He can break off a big run and help this offense move downfield. He's the guy you got to concentrate on. And we've seen it a lot. We've seen it a lot here in Philadelphia. Whether you go back to the 2004-2005 NFC Championship game where the Eagles had to contain Michael Vick, or you look around at just guys trying to stop Jalen Hurts, he can continuously break you. Oh, 3rd and 7? first down, Jalen Hurts. Oh, you got a fourth and two, whatever it might be. Jalen Hurts going to get you. That's going to be the big difference in this game. I think Jalen Hurts' talent is going to be on full display. Some other people have pointed to San Francisco 49ers taking on Marcus Mariota and the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to go ahead out on a limb and say that here's a piping hot take for you. Jalen Hurts is better than Marcus Mariota. For the people that don't know sarcasm, that was sarcastic. But when I watched this, and I went back and I watched the highlights of that game, Marcus Mariota had a 130-plus, similar to Patrick Mahomes, because he's a scrambling quarterback, because he can buy time. He had a 130-plus passer rating in that game as well with two touchdown passes. You get guys that can move off the mark. The one exception is it was a very low-scoring game in their first game of the season against the Chicago Bears when they faced Justin Fields. That was the only big difference in the game. And also, Trey Lance was their starter, was barely their starter this year. Jimmy Garoppolo started most of their games. Then, of course, Brock Purdy came in that Kansas City Chiefs game to round things out at the end of that game. But that's the game I look at and say the Eagles can have this type of game. So although I've been saying all week long that I see the 24-20 Eagles victory, I still see the Eagles victory, and I'm going to get right into it right now. I feel like in this game, when you have a team like the San Francisco 49ers that have played so great all year, and you have a team like the Philadelphia Eagles that have been so great all year, I feel like there is going to be a fraud exposed in this game. And I feel like that fraud is going to be the San Francisco 49ers. I feel like this game is going to be the validation of the Eagles season for everyone that wanted to throw in their faces that they ain't played nobody this season. You go and you take care of business against San Francisco 49ers. I think that's going to put a big exclamation point on your season. You make it to the Super Bowl, people could say all they want. They beat the other best team in the NFC to make it to the Super Bowl. And I think Jalen Hurts, Brandon Graham, I think all these guys, when you listen to Dallas Goedert, when you listen to them talk this season, you listen to their head coach, listen to their coordinators, man, they are dialed in for this game. 49ers present a huge challenge, and I don't think there's anybody taking them lightly. I don't think anyone in Philly is like, oh, they're going to kill the 49ers. The 49ers suck. No, I think everyone understands what the 49ers are. But I will say I think the Eagles win this comfortably. I don't think this is going to be a 50-20 type of deal. I don't think there's going to be anything ridiculous like that. But I do see the Eagles almost doubling what the 49ers have allowed all season long when it comes to points. I see them with 30-plus points in this game. I see the 49ers getting a late touchdown to make it feel like it was closer than it was. But really what I feel is that the Eagles are in the driver's seat throughout this game. And I feel like their offense is so versatile, whether it's A.J. Brown or whether it's Devontae Smith or Dallas Goedert and Jalen Hurts running, Miles Sanders running, Kenny Gainwell running, whatever it might be. I feel like this team is so versatile that this San Francisco 49ers team, although stacked, especially defensively, are going to have their heads spinning at times by what the Eagles are going to be able to throw at them. They had a great game last week against the Dallas Cowboys. They played off the charts against the Dallas Cowboys. They played off the charts at home against the Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles are not the Cowboys. The Eagles are a much better team than the Dallas Cowboys. And if they would have met in this playoff, I probably would have predicted an absolute blowout. But that wasn't the case. Cowboys are home right now. Micah Parsons picking up the pieces. I can't wait for Sunday's kickoff. I can't wait for 3:00. I'll be down at Ocean Casino. I'll be watching the game down there. I'll be doing my halftime hit with today's guest, Devin Caney. Looking forward to that. And then I look forward to meeting up with a lot of you guys on Broad Street because I feel like the Eagles are going to win this game by a score of 32-20. And like I said, it's not even going to be that close. All the respect in the world, I recognize what the San Francisco 49ers have done. I recognize the idea that the San Francisco 49ers have had a phenomenal season. Brock Purdy, congratulations on what will be just an incredible run for you, helping the 49ers win 12 straight games. He had a big part in that 12-game winning streak that unfortunately is going to snap this week. I think the Eagles, to combat what you see with Nick Bosa, and one thing I do want to point out, when the 49ers did play the Atlanta Falcons and Marcus Mariota put up those points, Nick Bosa didn't play in that game. Nick Bosa did play in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs and still 44 points by the Chiefs. What the heck? Come on, guys. So when you make those comparisons, I think it's also fair to point that out. But when I look at this game for the 49ers, I'll go ahead and acknowledge everything that Brock Purdy has done this season and go ahead and realize that you could talk about a guy being Mr. Irrelevant all you want. It doesn't matter because the bottom line is the guys played really well and the guys played really well when the Niners needed them to play well. and he played well in the playoffs. He played really well against Seattle in the wild card round, played very well, especially late in the game. Had a huge catch, fortunately, by George Kittle, who bobbled it a little bit, to be kind, and then was able to reel it in. But bottom line is, he made the plays when he needed to make the plays. He made the throws when he needed to make the throws. He has played a lot better than a guy who's termed Mr. Irrelevant for being the last pick in the draft. And he's gone toe-to-toe, as I pointed out earlier in the week, with Jalen Hurts in college. He's not intimidated by Jalen Hurts on the other side of the field. He knows what Jalen Hurts brings to the table. He knows that he himself is going to have to be on top of his game to take care of business against the Eagles. With all that said, I just think it's going to come down to who's the better quarterback. I think it's going to come down to home field advantage. I think it's going to come down to the fact that these teams are very close. And when teams are as close as this, I always go with the quarterback. And Jalen Hurts, the MVP candidate this year, will be the guy that elevates his team into that Super Bowl. Eagles 32, San Francisco 49ers 20 on a late touchdown. Not even that close. Eagles in the driver's seat the whole game. We feel good about it. We're making plans for Glendale by halftime. That's what. Oh, if we go this way, we could get a cheaper fare. All right, whatever. Then we'll scalp some tickets. One thing I do want to get to here is, if you haven't seen this yet, it's fantastic, and I'm going to get into Joel Embiid and that snub and the whole thing. I have a different take on that than most people, I think. But here is Jason Kelce. Now, this is before the divisional round game against the Giants that the Eagles dominated, of course. BG was even asked about the trash talk, and it's something that he always does. I played a clip for you guys yesterday of BG talking about making it back to the NFC Championship game and all that. BG always trash talk. I remember a game the Eagles played against the 49ers in San Francisco a couple of years ago, or in Santa Clara, excuse me, where Brandon Graham was talking so much trash that Fletcher Cox had to be like, all right, man, come on, calm down. Let's get this play. Like, we get it, all right? You can out-talk everybody on that, that offensive line. So along those same lines, BG went out there with Brett Celek as an honorary captain for the Eagles, sporting the Harold Carmichael jersey. I believe the same jersey he wore on parade day, if I'm not mistaken, if memory serves me correctly. So here is Brandon Graham trash-talking the Giants ahead of their divisional round matchup last week before their 38-7 victory over New York. And this is vintage Brandon Graham.
Better hear y'all. Y'all better get some beers going if I hear y'all. All right. After we kick their ass, lesson this. Oh, yeah, boy. We running right at you, 9-7. We running right at you. And you know not to run this way. Hey, hey. I'm on that throwing arm all day, hey. Yeah. We running right at you, 9-7. You look like you tired from this week. Uh-huh. I know. I'm going to be watching. Watch me. You gon' know. I know. 2-6. Yeah, you better be focused because you know what's up. You feel fire one time. You know. Ooh. Ooh. I know. I hope you try to chip, boy. You gon' hurt yourself.
I love BG.
Tell BG stop dancing on the...
Can you tell Brandon Graham to please stop hyping up the guy that I got to block? He was talking about Dexter Lawrence there, the Giants defensive line. I'm going to go ahead and agree with Jason Kelce, even though the Eagles offensive line still, they handled the business, as I like to say. But yeah, BG being that aggressive at the coin toss is vintage Brandon Graham. Whatever he does hanging up, I mean, really, with him and Jason Kelce, whenever they do hang it up, damn, will they be missed. Will they be missed here in Philadelphia? That put a smile on my face. I hope it put a smile on yours. Here's where I'm at with the snubbing of Joel Embiid. I saw it, thought it was stupid, and I moved on with my life. I'm not going to say I don't care because you always want your guy to be a starter in the All-Star. He's that good. He should be a starter in the All-Star game. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And as Kyle Newbeck points out from Philly Voice, Joel Embiid was a third, a.k.a. a starter, for both the player and media All-Star votes. But the fan vote doomed him. Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid. Here's where I'm at with individual accolades, and this includes the MVP, most notably the MVP award for Joel Embiid. In the early goings of the process, I wanted Joel Embiid to get accolades. I wanted the process, not just Joel Embiid, the process, but the entire process to get some accolades. I wanted him to get I don't know if it would have been a coach of the year. I don't know if it would have been a executive of the year. Not going to happen. Maybe, you know, that'd be nice to get the MVP. Most deserving of all those awards, Joel Embiid, the MVP award. Didn't happen. Ben Simmons, even defensive player of the year. No, not going to happen. Joel Embiid, defensive player of the year. No, hasn't happened. As it's gone on, and I've thought about the climb of the mountain, climbing the mountain to the mountaintop, I care less about the awards that any individual Sixer can gather along the way. And I concentrate more and more on just getting that mountaintop and giving this city a parade down Broad Street. That's what I have focused on more and more. While you're climbing and you're watching Joel Embiid get better and you're watching this team progress, along the way, if you could pick up a defensive player of the year, hey, cool, look, we're on the way. We're on the way to the mountaintop. We got the best defensive player. You're going up the mountain, you see an MVP trophy. Ah, you got an MVP trophy along the way. Still going to the mountaintop. All that would have been some validation. All that would have been like a nice pair of warm slippers to make you feel cozy that you are, in fact, going to win that championship. But now Joel Embiid, James Harden especially, you know, they're not spring chickens anymore. This isn't necessarily that young team. Tyrese Maxey's pretty young. That's nice. Tobias Harris isn't a spring chicken anymore either. I mean, really, these guys are all guys that should be giving you a championship now. So as we have drawn nearer to what should have been the mountaintop of progression from the process, we don't have anything to show for. We don't even have a conference finals appearance to show for it. Now, is all that Joel Embiid's fault? Certainly not. Is all that James Harden's fault? No, absolutely not. Is all that Daryl Morey's fault? No, is it Doc Rivers' fault? I know a lot of you. Just want to throw blame right there. But my stance on Joel Embiid getting snubbed is, yes, it sucks. Who cares? Go win a championship. That's where I'm at right now. Last year, maybe a little bit different last year. Last year, I didn't like the fact that Joel Embiid got snubbed for the MVP award, but that doesn't mean that I think Joker sucks. But I still think it should have been Joel Embiid. But for me, I am just done with harping and complaining and crying and being pissed off about individual accolades for the Sixers team. Bottom line is go out there and win. Don't want to get snubbed? Be the best. Don't want to get snubbed? Win a championship. Don't want to get snubbed? Get to a championship. Get out of the second round of the playoffs. And those that watch the show or listen to the show every day, you probably know where I'm going next year. The process started. The process is still going on right now. As that was going on, you still haven't made it past the point you were at the year or two before the process started. Andre Iguodala and Drew Holiday took this team to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Celtics. Then you were terrible the following year. You got rid of Doug Collins, and then the process began, and you still haven't made it past the point that you were at before the process started. That, I'm not going to lie, that sticks in my craw, people. That sticks in my craw. That makes me feel worse than I felt about 30 minutes ago before the show started. Something about the red light going on is just the instant, it's an automatic steroid. Something about that red light. Yep, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not feeling well again. Oh, by the way, this is another Father's Day gift. Dad. And then it says fixer of things on the mug. Isn't that nice? Which is true. Take a sip of that. So that's what I got for you guys right there. Flyers, unfortunately, took a big L last night. Again, in overtime, they lost to the Minnesota Wild. Did you see they were eating the lineup, the actual paper lineup before the game? That was pretty weird. That's what the Minnesota Wild did last night. Chuck Fletcher's old team. They eat the lineup. Tough game, though, for the Flyers. They lost in overtime, second straight overtime loss, unfortunately. So at least I get that point, as Will was saying, quite a lot here. Let me tell you guys about, I'm going to do the chat check before I do our guest today, before I roll our guest today. Who is Devin Caney, by the way. Let me tell you right now about Stephen Singer. Stephen Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right there on Jewelers Row. Ladies and gentlemen, if you need that beautiful, dazzling piece of jewelry, Look no further than Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Steven Singer gives you the perfect price each and every day. Online at iHateStevenSinger.com or in the store at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Now, what's the perfect price? Well, other jewelers are marking things way up. Just to mark it down a little bit in front of you and make you feel like a great negotiator, whatever it might be. Having to make you work for that money, forget about it. Steven Singer, you know what he does? He gives you that perfect price the second you walk in the door. So you don't have to worry about, oh, do I got to negotiate? Do I got to haggle? Do I got to really be on my A game here? No, everyone gets the perfect price. So when you walk in there, you don't have to worry about if you caught some sale or some promo code. You get the perfect price each and every day online at iHateStevenSinger.com or right there at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. How about the great people of Manscaped? Manscaped.com. Check out Manscaped. Use promo code Farzy and get 20% off and free shipping at Manscaped.com. Join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and they use Manscaped and their skin-safe technology to help you, Manscaped, with confidence and comfort. And right now, they're offering the best hygiene bundle yet, the Platinum Package 4.0, which includes the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, and yes, once again, skin-safe technology to help reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. Go to manscaped.com. Use promo code Farzy for 20% off and free shipping. How about Freestone Farm CBD? FreestoneFarmCBD.com. If you like Freestone Farm CBD, oh, man. You'll love the tropical tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart topping 24.1% and Super CBD, which is half Hindu Kush, and 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. So try Freestone Farm CBD, freestonefarmcbd.com. Let me tell you about PHL Sports Nation, Philadelphia Sports Nation, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs. That's phlsportsnation.com. Let's get into the chat check today. See how you wonderful people are doing. Kevin, good morning. John, what's going on, John Cheeseboro? Mihai, what's going on, Mihai? Nice to see you. Happy Football Friday to everybody. Mark, happy Football Friday. This is for Mihai. I'll also be at my second ever Sixers game tomorrow. 1-0 so far. Very nice, Mihai. Going to be a great test versus the Nuggets. Also, lots of Eagles hype. Eagles win 24-17. Fly, Eagles, fly. Like it, Mihai. John Cheesebro, best is to neutralize Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. Excuse me. By running the ball and taking full advantage of the 49ers' weaker secondary. I think this is a game where Jalen Hurts might put that arm on full display. I think you're going to have a lot of plays where he's showing off his leg. I mean, look, he's going to be, I think, at his best in this game. I think this is the game that he's playing his whole life for. I mean, in all honesty. I think Jalen Hurts is going to dazzle in this game. Mihai, it's going to be a bedlam at the lake on the road to the Super Bowl. There you go. Mike Wargan, what's going on? Just watched Jason mic'd up for the Giants game. Still plays like a young stud. It was amazing how he mauled guys a lot younger than him. The O-line's going to dominate this game. Eagles roll. You know, one of the things I do when I'm trying to get ready for, you know, a breakdown, whatever, is the NFL puts out these great previews of the game. And this is like, it's like checking my homework. Like all the things I've looked at, I want to see what the NFL says about it. The NFL called the Eagles the most diverse offense in the NFL, which I happen to agree with. The NFL network, NFL.com, rather, they also put together in the preview that the biggest test for this 49ers team is going to be the Eagles' offensive line. And if you're the 49ers, if you're D'Amico Ryans, you're going to be taking Nick Bosa and putting him over by Jordan Mailata, because Jordan Mailata is allowed 6 sacks and Lane Johnson, go figure, is allowed 0. I thought, yeah, that'd be nice if you're D'Amico Ryans. You're like, okay, yeah, I'll go over the less talented guy, right? But what they failed to mention was Lane Johnson's injury, which has amazed me how he has played through it. Through one game. No, it's only one game. But, man, he got stronger as the game went on. And Wink Martindale didn't test him as much as I thought he was. They had a lot of guys, whether it was corners, whether it was edge rushers, get the running start and really try to beat Lane Johnson to the outside, try to cut him inside. And Lane Johnson was right there each and every time to make the stop. That's incredible. And it finally got to a point where they were just like, I guess we're not going to be doing a lot of this. Like Wink Martindale was like, I guess we just play straight up and just see how it goes, because it's not going our way, unfortunately. If you're D'Amico Ryans, you're most likely going to be testing Lane Johnson again in this season to see what you can get away with the essentially the best pass rusher in the NFL right now in Nick Bosa. So that's something that I think Lane Johnson's going to have to be very much aware of, which I'm sure he is. Then you might see Dallas Goedert line up over that side. You might see Jack Stahl line up over that side to try to give Lane Johnson some help. But really, once they realized that Lane Johnson is actually playing closer, a lot closer to 100% than a lot of people, myself included, anticipated, that's where I think they're going to start knocking on Jordan Mailata's door to see what they can get away with on the left side of the line of scrimmage. So that's one thing I will see and we'll be looking for in this game. Random Anton, Eagles have different ways to win a game. You're damn right they do. Oh, wait, almost forgot. Good morning, Farzi and Society. Yeah, come on, John Cheeseborough. Appreciate you, brother. Mike Walker, another note. Did you see this scam Simmons bail in the Nets last night? I'm so glad he's not our headache anymore. The knee injury? Yeah. His next team is the Globetrotters. Could you imagine a malcontent on the Globetrotters? Willie Z, Purdy's about to find out it's different here. Oh, my God. Guys, did you see the Rocky mock-up movie poster with Brock Purdy on it? And it says Brocky. Have you seen this? It's not the same thing, but it reminds me of something. It reminds me of the Minnesota Vikings and their fan base coming to the Art Museum steps to do the skull chant from the Art Museum steps. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't take something we hold sacred here and mock it. Don't take a Rocky movie poster and put Brock Purdy on it and have it say Brocky and act like you're all clever. You will get smoked now. That movie poster is now a death warrant for the San Francisco 49ers. You want to take Rocky and you want to mock Rocky? I like how in this town, a lot of us and myself included, are like, you know, we should probably back off a little bit on the Rocky thing. But the minute somebody tries to make fun of Rocky, we're like, dude, I'll kill you. Like that's like a mindset. Like the Minnesota Vikings fans doing the skull chant of the RBZM steps. When I saw that, that made me feel like in my gut, 49ers are not going to have a lot of control as to what the Eagles are going to do to them in this game. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. Willie Z wants to run right at Bosa. I'm not against it. Purdy's going to look like Spencer Strider in the third inning. Oh, my God. That's a beautiful reference. Great job. Do we get a bat spike? Do we get a helmet spike? What do we get? Maddox practice. Maddox has been limited the last 2 days, John. Now, granted, one of those days is the walkthrough, so whatever. But if they get Avante Maddox back in that game, that'd be awesome. Sydney family. What's up, Sydney family? Walking into the Eagles fortress, that may be the difference. Huh? Professor Dutch. What's up, Professor Dutch? What the hell am I looking at? Jeff, what's up, Jeff? Deja vu from the last NFC Championship game, playing a backup quarterback at home against a very good defense, and we all know how the hell that ended. History tends to repeat itself. Go Birds. There you go. Sydney family. Is this a whole family just nominating one person to comment? Hello, Sydney family. Hoping Quinn can get a sack this week and nobody talking about him. But if he clicks and Gannon don't use him in coverage, he's got that high ceiling. Okay. All right, Sydney family. Sydney family really likes Quinn, Robert Quinn. April! What's going on, April? Bum Simmons, Globetrotters. I think he would be the first time Globetrotters ever got booed. Let's see. Morning, Farz. Hey, good morning, SB Ricky. What's going on? Catch you on broad. See you there, brother. Excuse me. No, my young daughter changed it. Aaron from Sydney, Australia. What's up, Aaron? How you doing? Totally unrelated, but I officially have a teenager today. Oh, send wine. April. Happy birthday to the little one. Not so little one. Huh? Hiya. Hey, Sky. Anyway, for the people on the podcast, I was just pantomiming my amazing karate skills. But it's not karate, is it? What does she do? She does the other martial art. What does she do? I forget. She's amazing at it. Northeast Sports. What's up, Northeast Sports? What's going on? Appreciate you guys in the chat. You guys are great. As per usual. Hey, my humble apologies for getting started late today. Literally, physically couldn't start on anywhere close to time today. Usually, I like the 10-minute mark, 6:10, like the 10-minute mark. Today was like 6:20. All right, that's unforgivable. But not to excuse myself, but to just explain, it wasn't pretty. I'm just saying, you guys wouldn't have wanted me on. I'm just saying that is all. Without further ado, we're going to jump on the Rothman Orthopedics guest line, and she's going to finish out the show here. Devin Caney joins the show from WIP, from ESPN, the cross coverage. I'll be seeing Devin again tonight. From Jacob Media, be seeing Devin again. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy all that Devin has to offer the program. Have a great weekend. Go Birds. See you guys Monday. Maybe even Sunday. Maybe we'll chime in on Sunday. Maybe we'll talk a little Birds on the way to the Super Bowl. All right. Hey, guys, appreciate you. Be back with you guys on Monday. Jim Hine approves the program. Did a wonderful job as per usual. This is a Buzz Sports and Entertainment production. Wait, hold on. Random Anton. This is very random. Would you fight Chung Lee from Bloodsport for $1 million? You had to put the quarter in my weird machine, didn't you? Because Bloodsport is one of my favorite all-time movies. Kumite. The 49ers will be saying Mate. Mate. Come Sunday. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. For all you Bloodsport fans, for all you fellow Bloodsport fans, I hope you enjoyed that. I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Go Bird. See you. Joining us right now, the Rothman Orthopedics guest line. Jeez, what's where's my notepad of all the things?
Oh, okay.
let's see. Today, from Little Caesars Pizza, Devin Caney joins us. What's up, Devin?
Little Caesars Pizza. Yes, I love it. So the NFL got a hold of you too, like they did with Nick Sirianni.
They pulled me in. They pulled me in, and they said,
"They're like, no, you can't mention Pizza Hut anymore." Sorry.
From WIP, Jacob Media. I always love hanging out with her and talking to her. Devin Caney joins the show today. Devin, what is your mood right now? NFL Championship Weekend, NFL Championship Sunday. How you feeling?
I feel a little bit like I don't know the word. Conflicted might be a good word for a couple reasons. A, I think I'm in denial. Like, it just hit me today that the Eagles are playing in the NFC Championship game. And, like, by Sunday night, we'll know if the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl or not. And that kind of freaks me out. But I am very optimistic, and that makes me nervous because it's the Eagles that we're talking about, and this team has been dominant for the most part throughout the entire season, coming off an extremely dominant performance, going up against probably the best team that they've played all season. And yet I'm not too nervous, and that makes me worried.
Wow. Okay. Now you freaked me out. Because
I know.
Now,
I'm sorry.
Now, I don't believe necessarily in like anxiety being contagious. I think what my family terms agita more than anything. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to this particular setup, what the scene you have just set is that we are right now, Sunday this weekend, we will have on the line our mood for at least the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
See the 2 weeks of like, oh, wow, we enjoy a bye week now, and we lead up to the Super Bowl, and then we drive ourselves crazy with that Super Bowl. And then, oh, my God, if they play the Super Bowl, every play will be etched in our brains just like 5 years. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm freaking out. Where's my inhaler? I don't know where it is.
Right? I'm sorry that I'm the cause of that spiral that you just went down, but like, it is kind of freaky to think about. Like, we'll know the fate of the Philadelphia Eagles by Sunday night. And something that's interesting that is at least a new experience for Eagles fans, and Mark, you can either confirm or deny if you share this same thought, having such a great season and a dominant performance and Jalen Hurts playing like the MVP and the team just being incredible and so fun to watch puts a lot more pressure on them, because now if you don't win the Super Bowl after the season that they had, in my opinion, in a way, it feels like a little bit like a loss, like kind of just, well, what was that for? Like, was it all for nothing? And I know that that's not like they've already accomplished so much, but it does up the ante a bit.
Yeah, you're right. It's like that 2017 season in the 2018 playoffs. It was almost like, well, we don't have the MVP quarterback. Hey, whatever we get out of this is great. And then they got a Super Bowl. And now it's like you have an NFL caliber, or excuse me, an MVP caliber quarterback under center right now. You should win this.
Exactly. Like that was kind of like, okay, can they do it with Nick Foles? Like, I don't know, but it gave you a fallback. It's almost like the Phillies being in the World Series. Yes, it still really stunk to watch them lose the World Series, but it was like, they aren't even supposed to be here. So I'll take it. I'll enjoy this ride, where this ride is kind of like, okay, they've done so well. Now they better capitalize on it.
You know what you just did? You and I just like, I just have, you're a stranger. I sat next to you on the roller coaster and I like gave you a hello and you just got a little nervous. And then right before the ride started, you look over and you go, you know, sometimes these seatbelts don't work. That's how I feel. What? What the hell? Like, that's how I feel right now. So thank you
I'm
for that.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm like that the person on a flight who, like, you're like, oh, I'm not afraid of flying. They look over at you and they're like, you know, these things crash sometimes. You know, some of them haven't been tested in years. And you're like, oh, okay.
Were we really meant to fly? What? Anyway, what I love about this week is that I think we've talked about everything with this football team and what they do well, with the few things that they don't do well. We've talked about the San Francisco 49ers, how great their defense is. Brock Purdy having an incredible, you know, what, helping this team on the 12-game winning streak that they are, San Francisco. It's amazing. Nick Bosa, we've talked about the pattern, everything. It's now shifted to being about the fans here in Philly. Jonathan Gannon talked about it the other day. Of course, Jalen Hurts talked about it. Nick Sirianni talked about it yesterday. Like, all these people have talked about the fans. It's now become a subject in San Francisco as well. Debo Samuel said, it's not that big a deal. Everyone's rowdy, whatever. Well, I don't know if he wants this smoke. But now, I just want to ask you this, because you grew up here. You grew up a Philadelphia fan. Do you have a memory that you can share with us that makes you think back, like when you think back to your childhood or going to games, whatever it might be, it makes you think, oh, wow, that's the moment that I realized Philly kind of hit maybe different than other cities hit.
There are almost too many to choose from. I'm trying to think of, like, there truly have been so many incredible moments. And what stands out to me almost, like, my immediate thought when you asked that question actually wasn't a game I went to in Philadelphia. It was when I lived in Chicago. Oh. And I lived in Chicago on the 2018 Eagles Super Bowl run. I literally flew home to watch that game, but this was before the Super Bowl. I would go to an Eagles bar with my one girlfriend who was also from the area. And we like we weren't even that close. She was just like kind of an acquaintance from college. And we were the only two Eagles or Philly sports fans we knew in Chicago. So her and I would just like tear up the town when I really played. And we went to this Eagles bar. And it would be packed to the brim. Like, we would have to reserve a table week in advance. When, like, they wouldn't open up reservations until a week in advance. We get our table. And it was mayhem during that Super Bowl run for the Eagles. And there would occasionally be a few, like, maybe Bears fans, even though I'm pretty sure the Bears were out at that point, but, like, still just being obnoxious, like, wearing a jersey. And they would just get destroyed if they tried to say anything to any Philly fan. And I remember, I have a specific moment. It was, we were in the bar watching them crush the Vikings. And some guy like came up to me and like tried to talk to me, and I didn't even have to say anything. Some Eagles fan next to me is like, hey buddy, get away from her. There are definitely more like expletives thrown in there, but like we stand up for our own. And I remember in that moment, I was like, God, I love being from Philadelphia. We are, I don't know if I'm allowed to say assholes. We are a-holes, but we protect our own. And that's what I love about Philadelphia. We always stand up for our own.
I love the fact that it's like just an acquaintance that you would hang out with. It's like if you travel abroad and you all of a sudden meet another American, you're like, oh, my God, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
That's awesome. And I'm sure in Chicago, look, they got passionate fans in Chicago. It's not like they don't. And I've been out there many times. And anytime you get to go to have a – I guess non-home team experience like that is something you certainly cherish. Yeah. Now, I will ask you this. You feel good. You feel like the next 2 weeks are going to be really interesting here no matter what, either really happy, really full of anxiousness or whatever. But when it comes to this game, I know you're feeling a little confident going in this one. I am as well. How do you think the Eagles perform on Sunday?
Hopefully well. It's definitely going to be a much bigger and harder battle than they had against the Giants, which, look, I'm not saying that I wish that the Giants game was harder for the Eagles, but it in a way makes me more nervous them coming off such a dominant performance, because it's not necessarily let's go back to the drawing board, you know, let's fix these mistakes that we made, because the Eagles really didn't make any mistakes. That being said, a big reason I love Jalen Hurts, as we've talked about Mark so often, is his mental toughness and how competitive he is. And you know that he's never going to sit back and be like, oh, we got this. It's easy. It's going to be a good game. Am I scared of the 49ers? No, not necessarily. I think that the matchup is going to be a really good one. Their run defense versus our run offense, rush offense, our defense against Kittle and Debo and McCaffrey. It's going to be a good one. And I just want Brock Purdy to want to pee in his pants as soon as he walks into the link. I want Brock Purdy to finally experience what a real hostile environment is like.
Have you been hanging around Seth Joyner a little bit more than just like when I see you?
I've been spending too much time with Seth Joyner lately, clearly. If I start yelling at Gannon to blitz more, then you know I need to like take some time away from Seth Joyner.
But by the way, I have to ask you this question because I heard a vicious rumor. I don't know if it's true or not. But okay, this part is not the rumor. You and I, two nights ago with Seth Joyner for the Jacob Media people, we were out there at Jeff D'Ambrosio, right? Jeff D'Ambrosio himself walks over and hands me this big bag. And he's like, hey, thanks for coming out. And it's the biggest gift bag, swag bag I've ever seen. Inside's like a nice jacket, a keychain, a couple of knickknacks, whatever. What was in your bag, Devin, if you don't mind sharing?
It was the nicest gift bag. I honestly had been meaning to reach out to Jacob, ask them to like give me the contact info so I could thank Jeff D'Ambrosio. It was like a really nice Orvis jacket. Definitely had a car keychain. I'm like, oh, no car, but like still a keychain.
you're expecting a key on it and be like, hey, step outside, Devin.
Like, wow, a car. Thanks, guys. And a hat. Why? Is there a cap here? Did you have like a little surprise in yours?
No, I did not have a surprise. Okay, good. Okay, so that makes me feel a little bit better because the equivalent for me, I guess, would have been a nice suit. Somebody told me he got you a dress.
No way.
Okay. Okay. I'm just saying. Somebody.
Well, look, maybe. I could have taken the wrong bag. We don't know.
Right now, Seth Joyner's home going, what the hell?
I can just imagine Seth Joyner opening up a bag with a dress. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
Wait, give it to my lady? What the hell is it? I think I got the wrong.
Meanwhile, I'm like, wow, this is such a nice jacket. I'm going to use it all the time.
I thought the same thing. I looked at it. I was like, this is perfect. I need a new dad jacket. This is the perfect dad jacket.
It is a dad jacket, but I will absolutely wear it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You kidding me? Absolutely. Okay. All right, so back to reality then. So that vicious rumor has been dispelled. All right, we've talked about Jalen Hurts now. This is a difficult thing, I think. What is the best part from this season that has nothing to do with Jalen Hurts? What's the best part of this Eagles season? Now, we've talked a lot about Jalen Hurts' improvement and his mental toughness and everything. But when you think about this Eagles team, after Jalen Hurts, what's the next best thing we've discovered about this football team this past season, regular season and playoffs?
I have a corny alert before I.
Oh, I can't wait now. This is the perfect setup. Go ahead.
It's been watching the magic and chemistry around this team just build throughout the season. You know, I look back to that 2017-2018 Super Bowl winning team, and they just had that it factor where you can tell when a team is enjoying themselves, when they're having fun out there, you know, when they're having fun at practice. And like this team put a Christmas album together. They just seem like they're having a blast. They brought out Batman masks on the sidelines earlier in the season. Whenever they show them, Nick Sirianni gets so fired up because he's so passionate and cares so much. And I know some people have problems with that. I love it. I love how dialed in and focused, but in tune this team is with each other. They just seem like they're clicking and they're having so much fun out there. And it's been so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the chemistry on this team is phenomenal. It really does remind me of the 2017 team. And I think with that chemistry, I think it leads into how they're able to always stay focused throughout the season. And that to me has been the biggest thing other than Jalen Hurts, because he is actually a big part of that focus that they have for every single team. Even when they were undefeated, they were acting like they haven't done anything. And you could argue that, yeah, they hadn't. They'd won a bunch of games. And they'd been the last team to be undefeated in the NFL, their first team to clinch a playoff spot in the NFL. And I remember seeing, I was at Jason Kelsey's underdog event at the Bach Bar, right? The rooftop bar, the Bach Bar, right? And A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts showed up at the exact same time I did. So we both checked. Well, I don't think they checked in. I checked in. They just kind of walked in. But they were standing behind me. They were gracious enough to like get in line, which I thought was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, hey, guys, hey, you know, hey, congrats on the record. You know, keep it coming. And they looked at me like, yeah, we haven't done anything, but thank you. And I'm like, my man, enough. Good enough. Yeah.
Well, and whenever you saw Jalen Hurts' victory speeches in the locker room after games that they were all winning because they were undefeated, he was always saying, you know, we still left stuff out on the field. We still left stuff out. Like, we can celebrate for now, but we still have stuff to work on. And I love that. And that's why, you know, even coming off that completely dominant performance over the Giants, I do trust that Jalen Hurts is still going to go back to the drawing board and keep working to face their next opponent. The guy is just a winner. He's so hungry to win. He's competitive. And I love that.
All right, this is a tough question, but I have to ask it. If you were to have a beer with Doug Peterson or Nick Sirianni, who are you having that beer with? And this is no chugging, you infamous chugger, you. This is enjoying a delicious beer. You're enjoying it, and it's a conversation. You're hanging with this person. Is it Nick Sirianni or is it Doug Peterson?
Nick Sirianni. Definitely. Ooh, Nick Sirianni.
Really?
That man has grown on me. And even throughout last season, he did. Like, Mark, remember I think everyone ripped him when he gave that fertilizer flower speech. And I think the Eagles' record since then is, like, really good. I don't know the exact number, but obviously this season's really good. Yeah. But even throughout the rest of last season, he just – I love his passion. I love how competitive he gets. What really stood out to me, I don't know if you read Darius Slay's story article. I don't know what you want to call it, like mini kind of bio story that he wrote for the Players Tribune.
But I did not. I love the Players Tribune. I'll have to check it out.
It's really good. I think he published it, or the Players Tribune published it last week. And he praised it. He has really high praise for Nick Sirianni and how the guys just love him, and he is a coach that is tough, but he genuinely loves and cares about the locker room. And I know I'm strained from chugging a beer or drinking a beer, but that I think that is really important. And that's probably a big factor why this team, as I mentioned earlier, seems like they're having so much fun and genuinely loves each other. I also just love listening to Nick Sirianni's press conferences. And I don't remember the last time I said I loved listening to a press conference. Like, no offense to Rob Thompson, but listening to a Rob Thompson press conference or a Doc Rivers press conference versus a Nick Sirianni press conference, like, they're not dropping little jokes in there. They're not talking about Pizza Hut or Little Caesars. So he just seems like a fun guy. And his kids are really cute.
That's a big factor. That's a big factor, of course, right there. That's interesting you say that. I think if you were to have a beer with either of those gentlemen, Nick Sirianni would be the guy that you could just sit there and hang out and he'd talk.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson, I feel like you'd be out there and you'd be the one talking, despite like asking him questions about, hey, remember the time you won the Super Bowl? That was cool. Like that, like he would be like a 5-word answer type of guy. And I think Nick would be the guy who'd be like, oh no, you can take a breath. I'm gonna be telling you about Mountain Union. Today, did you see, or I should say yesterday, they asked Nick Sirianni about, hey, this is the best team, most talented team you ever coached? And he goes, coached? Because at Mountain Union, we had a lot of talented teams. I'm like, nobody is talking about your D3 college experience. But that's part of what makes them lovable.
I love that. And yeah, Nick Sirianni would definitely be the type of guy who's like, so tell me about yourself. And then 5 seconds later, be like, oh my God, there's something shiny on the wall. And just like start talking about it.
You'd get 3 words. He'd be like, that reminds me of the time I was 13 and I was playing football with my brother. Exactly. I get what you're saying. No, it's totally accurate. Totally accurate. All right, Devin. Mm-hmm. All right. We've established the feelings. We've established that we got some confidence going here. We've established that the next 2 weeks are going to dictate a lot of agita in my world, okay? And your world as well. What kind of agita? Will we be excited because the Eagles won this game against the 49ers? If so, what kind of game was it? And do you see the Eagles obviously in the Super Bowl, which that question kind of gets answered with the first one. But how you feel about this game, and do the Eagles win it? What's your prediction?
I am feeling good. It pains me to say, because I'm just such like a, I don't want to say pessimistic, cautiously optimistic Philly sports fan. I feel good about this game. I think it's going to be obviously closer than their last game, but that's not really hard to do. Do I think that it's going to be won by a field goal? I don't know. Maybe it's won by 7 points. I think my prediction when we're at Jeff D'Ambrosio was like 28-21. And I still kind of stick by that, but I do think the Eagles will win. They have the advantage at quarterback. They have the home field advantage that, despite what a lot of people are saying, I do think will help them, especially with a rookie quarterback like Brock Purdy, who's only played in, I believe, 2 away games. I guess Seahawks could be counted as a hostile environment, but not like Philadelphia in a playoff game in the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. I think the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. I really do. What about you?
I'm right there with you. My feeling going into this game, and I expressed it earlier in the show, but my feeling about this game is that I think this is either going to be a huge win by the Eagles or an awful loss. I know just losing the NFC Championship game is awful, but I mean, like, I have the feeling in this game a fraud is going to be exposed. Like, I have the feeling that San Francisco 49, and I think it's going to be the Eagles that are not exposed, that they're doing the exposing of the San Francisco 49ers and Brock Purdy, the clock striking midnight on that Cinderella story. But I feel like something is going to happen that shocks us. And I think it's going to be the Eagles on the positive end of that. And I've been saying 24-20 pretty much all week. I think this could be a 35-20 type game. I mean, I saw Patrick Mahomes put up 44 points on this defense. I think Jalen Hurts and this offense could do the same thing on that San Francisco defense. So that's what I'm looking at in this game. I'm looking at a dominant performance. Maybe it's 31-14 in the late stages, and they get a last-second touchdown, whatever it might be. But I feel like the Eagles are going to be in the driver's seat throughout this game, and I think they win convincingly over the 49ers. That's where I'm at right now. So, Adria, be damned. We're going to enjoy the hell out of the next couple of weeks.
You know what? I'm really glad that you said that, because – I don't think I've said once throughout the season, maybe when they played the Steelers, that they would like beat them by a lot, or the Texans. But I do have a weird feeling that it might be another pretty big win or an absolutely horrible loss. Like, you worded that perfectly. Hopefully it's on the positive side though, for the Eagles. We'll see.
I hope so as well. And I apologize for just getting that hearsay that it was a dress in that gift bag. Maybe it was somebody being sarcastic. I don't know.
Look, I mean, Seth, if you're listening and you have my dress, I'm happy to take it, but I'm not giving you your jacket.
I just love the idea, Seth. Just, what the hell? I need that picture. Devin, Katie, always great catching up with you. It's funny. Saw you last night, talking to you tonight. I'll see you at the Wings Friday night. We air this tonight. They'll retire Kevin Finneran's number. Yeah. You'll be there, of course. Is it an ESPN game then? Is ESPN doing the game?
That's a good question.
Do you not know who you're working for tomorrow night? Or no. Did they just hand you a mic flag and say,
I literally find out by the mic flag that's sitting on my little desk in the dungeon in the Wells Fargo Center that I sit at. ESPN today. Cool.
Oh, there we are. Look at that.
Last week's game, really quick. I had no idea it was on NBC Sports Philly until someone sent me a screenshot of the TV that they were watching at a bar. And I was like, oh, we're on NBC Sports Philly today. Cool. That's didn't know that.
See, they tell us nothing. They tell us nothing. Yeah. And I'll see you Sunday for Jacob Media down there at Ocean Casino. We'll be bringing them all in action. You and I will do the halftime hit, and we'll be on our merry way. I'm hoping I can drive back in time for an Eagles celebration on Broad Street. Maybe I can join you guys live from Broad Street and bring you hopefully some celebrating Eagles fans.
Yeah, hopefully. I'll be jealous if you get to do that. It's like the one downside of being in AC. But yeah, hopefully we're celebrating.
Womp, womp. How do you think I feel? I live in the suburbs now. No, all right, we're not going there. Anyway, Devin Caney, always great catching up with you. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you on Sunday as well for the biggest game of Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, and the whole damn shebang, the whole crowd. It'll be awesome. Devin, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. Devin Caney joining us on the Rothman Orthopedics guest line.